So good morning, good day. As the retreat is ending and we begin shifting into the rhythms of daily life, I'd like to say a little bit about supporting our formal daily practice. And I'll speak a little bit to both those of you who don't yet have a regular practice, and also those of you who do, and those of you that are somewhere in between. So both mindfulness and concentration are necessary in meditation. Concentration provides the stability and stillness in the mind so we can be mindful and be mindful in a clear manner. On retreat, as you may have noticed, as the retreat went on, after so many hours meditating, the mind begins to get more settled, more concentrated. But concentration's a little bit like lifting weights. If you stop lifting weights, pretty soon you lose the strength you gained. And so one of the most important things in developing and maintaining your concentration is to practice daily. So if you don't yet have a daily practice, I very much encourage you to make a commitment to it, to let the retreat be kind of your momentum for it. So if you don't have a regular practice, these are a few things that can be helpful. I found it very helpful to have a special place to meditate and do it at the same time each day. Even if it's a corner in the room and you just put a little scarf there, that's your spot. So it's the same place. Doing it this way conditions the mind and creates a habit. So much of our conditioning can be bad habits. You know, that's a good habit you can condition. A little bit like brushing your teeth. You don't have to commit. We don't have to commit every time we brush our teeth, right? You don't have to say, "Okay, I'll make sure I brush my teeth tomorrow." You know, we just do it. It's a habit, and so we can use that conditioning to really support our practice. And even if life is busy, if we sit on the cushion, even if it's for 3 minutes, just maintain the regularity, the habit. And then next day, go back to the normal sit. But that can be really helpful. Just take a moment and just sit down. Just sit down. Some people find that a rhythm of, for instance, sitting daily for 30 minutes, and on the weekend they sit for 45 minutes, or vice versa, and or 20 minutes sometimes. It depends on your own practice, what really works for you and what's realistic for you. For some people, having an altar with something inspiring can be helpful, a statue, a flower, a picture. One of my friends, he likes to use dead things or things that are dying on his altar just to remind him of the impermanence of life. He usually had either dying flowers or bones on his altar. And something that just gave him that sense of, the time is now, the time is now. And letting go, a little bit of the symbol of all of that. Another support can be practicing with others, having friends who practice. I know some of you already have that sit regularly with Gil Fronsdal. Here in California, it's 7 a.m. in the morning during the weekdays. You know, there's like hundreds of people who sit there, sit together, and meditate together, and then he gives these wonderful dharmas. So it's a very sweet thing to do if that's supportive to you. I've known friends who, Dharma friends, who call each other every day. And they just say, "Hi, I'm going to go sit now." And the other person says, "Me too." And they hang up, and it's very sweet. It's a sweet connection. But it's really supportive for for the people I know who've been doing that for years. And one other thing I'll say in relation to that is, you know, some people find that keeping a meditation journal is supportive, even if it's just a couple of sentences. So, you know, there's other things too, but this is just some thoughts too. You know, feel free to be creative. You know, we all get inspired in different ways. If you do have a regular practice or semi-regular one of the things to consider is that sometimes we get complacent and not fully apply ourselves. The practice might get comfortable, it feels good, but the clarity, the ardency, the sharpness might not be there. So I wanted to mention a few of the things I've done over the years, really to create a container for my meditation that reminds me that it's the most important thing in the world for me. And so I take a little bit of time before I begin, you know, paying attention to the breath and body and really paying attention to my deep motivations. And I've used these different approaches, you know, like, you know, sometimes for several months, sometimes for years. So if any of these are something you connect with, you know, or maybe they trigger your own idea. At one point in my practice, I used my dedication to following the Eightfold Path. And I know I've shared this with a few of you. So I would take a moment and really connect with my commitment to living my life based on the Eightfold Path. But really connect with each step of the path. You know, how does right view inform my life right now? How does right intention inform my life? Am I connected with my commitment to not harming, to living a life, you know, based on kindness, on letting go, and so on with the rest of the Eightfold Path? You know, and with each one, each step, just making it real. And that would often really bring, just get me just to the place of really respecting my practice. One of the other things that I would do at a different era, I would imagine that the Dalai Lama or maybe the Buddha was visiting my mind. What would I be like if they showed up in my mind? I can tell I paid very careful attention, and I'd be interested in everything they said, everything. And I'd smile and be just very, very welcoming. So that for me was always a real inspiration of opening my heart. One other thing that I've done is that, you know, maybe I have no idea, but maybe every 4 or 5 months, you know, I kind of take time to reevaluate my deepest intentions in life and to reconnect with them. And even though basically my deepest intention is always the same at the very core level, I want to be free, but there's flavors of it that show up differently, you know, when I reflect on it. And so I spend some time connecting with that. And then every day I would begin my sitting connected to that. I'll say a couple more things in case they connect for you. I've also began my sittings with taking refuge. And for some people, taking refuge is like a when they take refuge formally, that's a time of a very strong transformation where we put the practice at the center of our lives. And so that's something that that has been really powerful for me. At other times, I've started my sittings with 5 to 10 minutes of loving kindness practice. And that always created just such a lovely sense of warmth and friendliness in my mind. And lastly, I'll add, I would read a small passage from a Dharma book, you know, each day, just a, you know, very short passage or maybe a poem. So if something I mentioned resonates with you, you might experiment with it, or you might find your own way to bring inspiration, fresh inspiration to your practice. So thank you. And I'll pass it on to Shelley.
Thanks, Inez. Lots of really lovely suggestions there. And I'm just going to offer some hints for how to, you know, kind of gradually reenter daily life. It's only been a couple days, but still, I'm sure changes have happened and you've kept yourself separate from some things that that will be coming back into life again. So how to do that, and also some hints for supporting daily life practice. And some of the things that Inez mentioned are, of course, really also really beautiful ways of doing that, but I'll mention a few others. So first off, just, you know, do give yourself time to re-enter the, you know, the busyness of life. Don't pick up the news right away. Take it slowly, and take it slowly with emails if you can. You know, sometimes they build up and we think we have to respond to everything. But even though this was a short retreat, still, you know, just taking time to gradually get back into activities that you have been doing these past few days is really useful. Pay attention to the effect of adding things like responding to email. Maybe just do a couple and then see, well, you know, how does it feel? Do I need to respond to the rest right now? Maybe I can just take a breather here. After a few minutes of reading the news, you know, same thing. Check in with yourself. What's the effect? What's the effect on your heart? You know, maybe even check your heart rate. What's the effect on the body? Is there really something you need to know about right now? You know, if there is, then work with it. But be mindful of what you're taking in. Remember what Inez said on the opening when we, you know, talking about the precepts intoxicating the mind. Notice what happens. Is there intoxication if you start engaging with those, especially with the kind of our devices, the online content? People sometimes after retreat, people expect their minds to stay just as settled as they were in their most settled sits. But the conditions of daily life usually don't support that. So it's not a mistake for the mind to start working faster. We haven't really lost anything you learned or experienced on retreat. It might not be accessible when things are happening around you so fast, but you learned it and you experienced it and it has changed you. And if you continue with the daily practice, as Inez talked about, that's that gives momentum to it. That will keep it staying alive within you. Last night, I talked about balancing energy and samadhi, and we can incorporate that balance into our lives, our daily lives as well. When we find ourselves getting agitated and tense, we can tune into the breath and just slow down. We can ground in our bodies. We can ground in our feet. You know, Thomas Merton, the Catholic monk and a great thinker from the last century, once said, to hurry is a form of violence. And that's kind of a strong statement, but to pay attention to what's the effect of hurrying, you know, that sense in the body and in the mind, in the heart. We can keep our mindfulness going during the day. You know, often we suggest just stopping every hour or so to do whatever we can do. Maybe it's 5 minutes of sitting quietly. Maybe it's only 2 minutes. Maybe it's 90 seconds. You know, who's going to notice if you spend 90 seconds really, you know, breathing mindfully and settling into your body every hour? You can do that without, you know, it really disturbing whatever else needs to be happening, if you're at work or school or taking care of family or whatever happens to be the obligations of the day. Just find a way to remind yourself in the busyness of activity to slow down, to connect with the present, and to rebalance your energy. Some people use alarms on their phones or computers. Some people use sticky notes on the fridge or something. Find what works for you and then do it. Make the commitment to give yourself the gift of mindful awareness every day, throughout the day, as often as possible. And be kind to yourself. Give yourself a hug. Life is often tough. It's often tough. And we all deserve kindness. And we all, includes you, includes each one of us. You can incorporate stealth metta into your daily life. I think it really brightens the mind to just send good wishes to everyone you kind of come across as you're going through your daily activities. It brightens the mind, and it also, who knows, it might affect those you are sending it to as well. And something that I don't often mention in this regard, but I'd like to say, is just to think about the Buddhist precepts as something to take really seriously. Maybe it's time to make them part of the way you live your life. There's no obligation, of course, but I think doing that, really orienting your life around non-harming, around really taking that seriously, not creating harm for yourself or for others. That's a blessing that can have many ripples, both for your own heart and mind, and also for, of course, all those you come in contact with. So those are my suggestions for going out into where you already are in your homes, in your environments. And may it be a peaceful transition and with much to learn.